top Steelers analyst says they're not any better at quarterback, despite the total turnover at this top position. Say what? Welcome to the Steelers Update from Penn Live, where we keep track of all things Steelers, so you don't have to. This is John Lucy reporting. Meet the new Steelers offense, same as the old one. Is that right? Well, so says one of the top team insiders in all of Pittsburgh. I'm talking about The Athletic's Mark Caboli, who regularly makes the rounds on local radio, but also on national NFL coverage, including Good Morning Football and the Pat McAfee Show. Usually, Caboli's reporting and insights on the Steelers are spot on. But the big guy is getting plenty of blowback in the 412 area code after warning excited fans that their team's 2024 situation at quarterback might not be any better than it was last season. Now, you'll recall that the Steelers just finished in a historic turnover at the most important position in sports. Shown the door were an ineffective Mitch Trubisky, an underperforming and disgruntled Kenny Pickett, and an underestimated Mason Rudolph. In for 2024 is a Super Bowl-winning Russell Wilson and a potential field but turnover-prone Justin Fields. Cue all that excitement sweeping Steelers Nation. But not so fast, says Caboli. He's effectively throwing a wet blanket on all the terrible towel twirlers cheering on the Steelers quarterback moves. Caboli wrote this in response to a reader mailbag question, asking, quote, "Given the play of Wilson and Fields the past couple of seasons, are the Steelers that much better off at QB than they were?" Unquote. Caboli's response proceeded to shake the growing confidence across Steelers Nation to its core. He wrote, quote, "No, not right now. Both have had their issues, but you have to love Wilson's intangibles as a leader and a winner in the past and Fields' athletic ability and potential moving forward. Plus, neither is costing the Steelers that much. So when you look at it that way, yeah, they are better off. Now, if Mason Rudolph would have stayed on, that would have been best," unquote. The collective Yinzer response on X, formerly Twitter, quote, "He's trolling, right?" Wrong. At the very least, Caboli is throwing a caution flag on all the seemingly knee-jerk assumptions in Steelers Nation that the team's QB overhaul is synonymous with an upgrade. And he's agreeing with the Steelers' original conclusion that keeping both Pickett and Rudolph in Pittsburgh, coupled with the addition of new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, would have been the preferred way to improve the Steelers' attack in 2024. Remember, that was the original plan going into free agency and going into this coming season. Instead, the Steelers might have imported more question marks in that QB room. And these question marks don't just punctuate the status for next season, but for seasons to come. After all, can anyone pin down Pittsburgh's future plans at the QB position? Asked about this in the same mailbag column, even the Wired-In team insider was left at a loss. There's simply too many variables swirling around both Wilson and Fields to know what comes next. Caboli writes, quote, "I don't think any of us know as we sit here today, but that's fine. With Wilson and Fields, they now have options, which they didn't have prior. If Wilson balls out, he could play 4 or 5 more years. If not, you move on to Fields and hope he can turn into a legitimate starting quarterback. With Fields, they'll have an entire offseason to be able to determine whether he can turn his career around, and I believe that's what 2024 will be all about for him, unquote. Caboli's remarks dismissing the new QB room as the same as the old one merited much ridicule on social media. But a well-timed column by rival writer Brian Batko with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette lends credence to Caboli's dim view of the Steelers' QB overhaul. Batko, as he often does, plunges deep into all the player stats amassed by Pro Football Focus. They're designed to measure NFL performances by player and by position. Batko points out that PFF's 2023 season numbers for Wilson and Fields are mediocre at best. Wilson's and Kenny Pickett's PFF passing scores were mostly mirror images of one another. Says Batko, quote, "The major reason seems to be that they were similarly ineffective downfield," unquote. One of the more depressing comparisons was the average depth of target on their passes. With Wilson, it was a paltry 7.8 yards. That's just a few inches more than Pickett's 7.5 yards, which ranked him 31st among NFL QBs. Wilson did have significantly more big-time throws, 27 to Pickett's 13, but also more turnover-worthy plays, 17 to Pickett's 7. Concludes Batko, quote, "They just look very similar as straight passers, at least at this stage of Wilson's career," unquote. In short, pick your poison, Pittsburgh. So what about Fields, you might ask? Well, the PFF stats reveal, quote, "a below average passer." Fields' adjusted completion percentage ranked 22nd among NFL QBs, while his big-time throws came in at 18th. Batko concludes Fields, quote, "wasn't terribly efficient, making both ordinary and extraordinary plays at a below-average rate," unquote. At least Fields did throw the football a bit deeper when he did put it up. He had an 8.8-yard average depth of target, and that was good for 10th in the NFL. But Batko does give us a glimmer of hope, calling this a sign that Fields was, quote, "seeing and attempting plays down the field fairly well," unquote. But given all the QB question marks, shouldn't the Steelers be searching for a franchise quarterback in the upcoming draft? Perhaps Washington QB Michael Penix Jr., whom the team is bringing in for a pre-draft visit in Pittsburgh. Again, Mark Caboli is the wet blanket for the terrible towel twirlers. He adamantly rules out the growing clamor in Yinzerville for the Steelers to spend a first-round draft pick later this month on Penix Jr., even as the Washington quarterback rises up draft boards following a standout pro day. Quipped the rotund writer, quote, "I think there's a better chance of me running in the Boston Marathon. Given the spots the Steelers need to fill in the draft, picking a quarterback in the first round would be silly," unquote. In short, your Steelers QB room is all but set for 2024. Unfortunately, it's mostly filled with question marks. Arguably, more than even last season. We have much more on all the sweeping Steelers changes across their lineup, including predictions for what they'll do at pick 20 in the NFL draft later this month. That and more in a deep dive edition of your Steelers Update podcast. Hey, and be sure to check out my full print column first thing Thursdays on Penn Live. As always, it will be packed with plenty of memes, bringing the latest, greatest Steelers debates to life and to laughs. Right now, let's get right to it. First up, we go back to that great quarterback debate. Are the Steelers better at the position or not? Well, we know where Mark Caboli stands, but Caboli's own publication seems to contradict their columnist with a story surveying various unnamed NFL executives. The Athletic quote these execs as awarding good marks for the Steelers' free agency haul, especially at quarterback. Quote, they should be applauded for where they are and what they have done, unquote. One executive was quoted as saying, and he was pointing specifically to landing Wilson and Fields at bargain basement prices in terms of both their salaries and that conditional sixth-round draft pick for the former Chicago Bears QB. Another exec added, quote, they will now be running an offensive system that saw Ryan Tannehill have his best year, which you would think bodes well for Wilson and Fields, unquote. That's the belief that going into the Arthur Smith system will benefit both of these incoming quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. As for Fields, who will initially sit behind Wilson, as the coaches in Pittsburgh work to clean up his game, especially those killer turnovers that coach Mike Tomlin simply will not tolerate, there does remain questions. Echoing the unnamed NFL execs, the Athletic article asks this about Fields. Would you rather have him for $4.7 million or Gardner Minshew for $12.5 million? Would you rather have Fields or Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, or Sam Darnold, unquote? You seem to think that trying Fields out for that $4.7 is still not a bad deal in Pittsburgh when you look at the other options that were out there and the, of course, other question marks surrounding those guys and the dollar signs surrounding those guys. So we just ask you, Yinzer Nation, how about it, Pittsburgh? You really that happy at quarterback? We'll see. One place we can't be happy at all about as it stands right now in the Berg is offensive line, specifically center, where the O-line utility knife Nate Herbig would be the starter right now. And then there's right tackle, where last year first-rounder Broderick Jones has been substituting. Now, the Steelers profess to want to pencil in Jones at his natural left tackle position for 2024. So who could they possibly draft as his bookend, and which position, center or right tackle, will get that premium pick at number 20 where the Steelers now stand in the draft? All of these questions are fodder for an interesting tag team draft preview penned by Steelers beat writer Mike DeFabo and NFL draft guru Nick Bumgardner. They partner up to write this for The Athletic. DeFabo begins the draft debate setting up the Steelers' dual needs along the O-line. He writes, quote, the Steelers have a glaring need at center after cutting last year's starter, Mason Cole, he of the guy who couldn't really snap the ball in the right place. But I digress. We go back to DeFabo. Quote, But at the same time, they also need an upgrade at right tackle to allow Jones to flip to the left side. If they draft an offensive lineman back-to-back in the first and second rounds, is it better to get a tackle first and a center second, or vice versa, based on the value added by those positions, the depth of the draft classes, and the opportunities to add in other ways? That is some in-depth questions by DeFabo, and he poses them to Bumgarner, who weighs in with a carefully weighed response. He writes, quote, "There won't really be a wrong way to do it, so as long as you've done your homework, there are more top-end tackles in this draft than centers. But that's not to suggest this is a bad center class. It's actually a pretty good one." Still, Bumgarner warns us, number 20 might be too high for a center this year, but maybe not for Pittsburgh, which is looking to settle things in the middle of that O-line. So, you know, you got to weigh all the needs and the options. So let's get down to it. Who are the names at center the Steelers should consider? Bumgarner names them. Quote, "Oregon's Jackson Powers Johnson is really intriguing, and opinions can be split on him as he's just a one-year starter over the football and snapping the football. I wouldn't eliminate West Virginia's Zach Frazier from the first-round discussion either. The other option here is Duke's Graham Barton. He's a top 30 player. Barton started his college career as a center before moving to left tackle. Length will likely keep him at guard or center at the next level, and he's more than athletic enough to pull it off," unquote. That's Bumgarner sizing up the center position at the top of the draft, or at least when Pittsburgh will be picking in the late middle rounds there. Now, just as Bumgarner seems to settle the center position, DeFabo chimes in with a curveball. He writes, quote, "What if Pittsburgh prefers a tackle with their top pick? Which tackles would need to be available for you to pass on Powers Johnson at center and draft that tackle instead?" Unquote. Well, Bumgarner comes back with this, quote, "Some of the tackles in the Steelers' range this year are extremely talented, but they're also kind of raw. That's why this is going to be a tough decision and will require some big-time scouting from Pittsburgh's draft department," unquote. And once again, Bumgarner names some of those names. First off his lips is Georgia's Amarius Mims. Bumgarner calls him, quote, "one of the freakiest tackles we've seen. 6'8", 340 pounds, 36 1/8 inch wingspan, 11 1/4 inch hands. He ran a 5.0740 with a 1.78 split at the combine. And Bumgarner adds, when he gets those mitts into a defender's chest, the rep is over, unquote. But, and there's always one of those, Bumgarner warns, quote, "Mims has just 8 college starts to his name and is still very inconsistent with his run blocking," unquote. And what does Arthur Smith want to do in Pittsburgh? He wants to run the football, first and foremost. So who else is up there at right tackle? Bumgarner says, quote, "Oklahoma's Tyler Guyton is also a freak. He's another guy with off-the-charts traits, but a lot of inconsistency with his technique in the run game," unquote. So what should the Steelers do at pick 20? Bumgarner says, quote, "Frankly, I could easily make a case for either of these guys over Powers Johnson. especially if they're going to start on the right side, for the Steelers. Also, while I really doubt Oregon State's Talesi Fuga is going to fall to 20, if he did, I would jump at it, unquote. So Bumgarner is leading right tackle. The talent premium seems to be there. But the draft speculation, of course, is just ramping up. It does seem pretty safe to assume, though, that your Steelers will use that first pick to shore up the offensive line. The only question is, will the investment be in the middle at the center position or out there at right tackle, allowing our 2023 number one pick, Broderick Jones, to move to his natural position at left? We'll see. The pieces will begin to fall into place later this month. Now, as free agency winds down and the teams prepare to go on the clock in the Motor City of Detroit, Michigan, all the talk is usually around how the newly acquired free market talent will fare on the football field in the upcoming season. But Brian Batko at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette flips the script. He devotes some astute analysis looking at how a Steelers free agent pickup will help free up one of Pittsburgh's biggest stars. I'm talking about safety Minkah Fitzpatrick, whose splash play potential could sure be used to be supercharged in the upcoming season. And it could get that boost due to one of the Steelers' more shrewd but under-discussed additions to the defense. Hey, let's face it, Fitzpatrick fizzled in 2023. He missed a career-high 7 games with injury, and as Batko notes, he put up a rather mundane stat line when he did take the field. It was Fitzpatrick's first season without an interception, along with 0 forced fumbles and a career-low 3 passes defended. Clearly, something must change. We need to get Minkah back to being Minkah again. Here's Batko on how some of the Steelers' free agency moves could free up Fitzpatrick to be his big play self once again for your Steelers. Batko writes, quote, Fitzpatrick's football IQ and instincts make him best suited as a center fielder who can roam the back end and make plays on the ball. Playing in the post has been a point of pride for Fitzpatrick, but he's also been more than willing to act as an extra linebacker and fly down toward the line of scrimmage as a tackler. Fitzpatrick played a career-high 30.2% of his snaps in the box or at the line last year. His 41.3% of the snaps as a free safety marked the lowest of his Steelers tenure. The Steelers want to get Fitzpatrick back to his comfort zone, and a relatively modest veteran signing in free agency might be the key to doing it. Deshaun Elliott comes to Pittsburgh after 4 seasons with the rival Ravens, and 1 with the Lions and 1 with the Dolphins, all of whom relied on him as just about an every down safety. Signed to a 2-year, $6 million deal, Elliott has the size and length to match with tight ends, but also the reputation for meeting running backs in the hole and delivering as much physicality as he absorbs. In that respect, he's a different kind of running mate for Fitzpatrick than veteran Diamante Kazee, who enters his 3rd year and turns age 31. Moreover, Kazee has a body type best suited for a traditional free safety role, while the 6'1", 210-pound Elliott is built for throwing himself into the pile, unquote. So the bottom line for Batko is this. The Steelers, he writes, have made a starter caliber addition in the form of Elliott. He's someone who can do the thumping and allow Fitzpatrick to be the ball hawk, unquote. Hey, and when you talk to Elliott or when you hear Elliott talk, he's already speaking the language Steelers fans love to hear. Batko quotes the new Steelers safety as saying this, quote, "It's football. I feel like if you're scared of being physical, get off the field," unquote. And immediately upon signing with the Steelers, Elliott paid homage to the storied franchise's Super Bowl tradition, which, of course, everyone in Pittsburgh is longing to get back to. Said Elliott, "That logo," pointing to the Steelers' signature hypocycloids, quote, "It's championship football. This is the culture. This is real smash mouth, real gritty, cold weather game football. Why would you not want to play here? Growing up watching Troy Polamalu play, the steel curtain, like this is real football. I'm excited to be here," unquote. Hey, I think we're all excited about the additions to the D, but Minka Fitzpatrick might be the most excited of all, especially if the hard-hitting Elliott can free up Fitzpatrick to roam once again and make those big game-changing plays. Boy, that would be great to see. And we shall see what the Steelers are going to do in the draft. And, of course, we will cover it all right here every Wednesday afternoon. Your Steelers Update podcast is fresh with all the steaming hot, fresh takes straight from the 412 area code. And, of course, log on to PennLive.com anytime for your real-time Steelers news.